We started last week, a little bit loud. We started last week on what was praise and how that God wants us to praise God. And looking in Psalm 145, we found out why God wants us to praise the Lord. Because He is worthy of our praise. And then we looked last week, and before we get rolling into this, we just need to ask God to bless His word. Father God, I want to praise You and I thank You. Lord, You call us to be a people who praise You. And may our souls be so stirred with this. May our lives be so stirred with this that we can come and praise You, the God of the universe. And we give You praise now, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, we started out last week saying, why should we praise God? And the first thing is we should praise Him because He is worthy of our praise. And then we looked at, when should we praise the Lord? We should praise Him. And the Bible says every day that we should praise Him. In verse 2 of Psalm 145, it says, I will praise You every day. Yes, I will praise You forever. Great is the Lord, and He is worthy of our praise. And then we looked at that verse in Psalm 113, verse 5, it says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. I want to continue looking at this chapter for a little while this morning, but would you read it with me and just find out how God speaks to us? So starting at verse 1 of Psalm 145, I'm going to read it. Follow along in your Bibles, please. I will exalt You, my God, my King, and praise Your name forever and ever. I will praise You every day. Yes, I will praise You forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness. Let each generation tell its children of Your mighty acts. Let them proclaim Your power. I will meditate on You, on Your majestic, glorious splendor and Your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim Your greatness. Everyone will share the story of Your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about Your righteousness. The Lord is, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion in all His creation, and all His works will thank You, Lord. And Your faithful followers will praise You. They will speak of the glory of Your kingdom, and they will give examples of Your power. They will tell about Your mighty deeds, and about Your majesty and Your glory of Your reign. For Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps His promises. He is gracious in all He does. The Lord helps the fallen, and He lifts those beat beneath their loads, or bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look up to You in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When You open Your hand, You satisfy the hungry and thirsty of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything He does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love Him, but He destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord. And may everyone on earth bless His holy name forever and ever. And may God have His blessing on the reading of His word. We got down to verse 5 of last week where we were talking about that we need to praise God so that the next generation sees the power of God. As we continue to look at these verses, God is calling us to and really showing us who He is and why we should praise Him. Is there any reason why we should not praise the Lord? So then if we can't think of anything, then we should praise Him. But you know, sometimes we just need to get a fresh glimpse of what God is like and who He is. Verse 7 says this. It says, everyone will share the story of Your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about Your righteousness. Everyone will share Your wonderful goodness. When we testify, when we talk to our kids, when we, wherever we are, where, when we talk to them, we are sharing in God's goodness. And we sing with joy. I believe that church should be the one place that is filled with joy. Yes, we go through trials and we lift each other's burdens and God lifts us. But I think that it should be a place where there is joy in the camp. There are too many so-called churches that you come into a church and you sit there and you don't get excited and you sit there for the 55 minutes and then go back out again and there's no joy. I pray God for the joy that we have here, the laughter that we have here. It's because of what God does in our heart. It's because what he does in our lives that we get to praise him and are a little bit joyful over it. Man, I am thankful for what God has done in my life. And I want to praise him more and more. Goes on there in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and is filled with unfailing love. He's merciful, folks. And we need to remember sometimes. We need to look back at where God pulled us out of the miry clay. We need to look back and think of the pit that he drug us from. He showed us his mercy. He shows the world his mercy and he is compassionate. Now, the other part it says, he is slow to get angry. Over this last week, Mary and I had the opportunity of watching a couple of episodes of Amazing Race. Has anybody followed the Amazing Race? Anybody watched it? The Amazing Race. The people that are running towards the $1 million are not slow to get angry. They're just the opposite. They're very fast to get angry. And because the team member isn't running fast enough or doesn't do the required task fast enough or do it correctly, they're yelling at each other and they're calling their team members each other's names. And then they call each other team. But here, it says in verse 8, that God is merciful to us. Man, I praise God for his mercy. I praise God that just because I mess up one time, God's not up there going, "Ah, man, they did it. They messed up. So, well, I'm going to teach them a lesson." And he treats us like a bug, goes, and squashes us. How many times have you been quick to get angry? How many times have you showed compassion over and over and over and over again? You'd like to think, yeah, I do that. But sometimes in reality, we're quick to get angry. Peter was questioning Jesus about forgiveness and he said to, you know, the story of Jesus. Jesus says that you need to forgive. And Peter says, well, how many times should I forgive? The law, the Old Testament law said that you should forgive a particular sin 3 times. And when Jesus said to Peter, he says, how many times should you forgive a particular sin, a specific sin? Peter thought that he was being really, really godly. And he says, well, you should forgive them 7 times. And Jesus says, that's wrong. He says, you should forgive them 70 times 7 or 490 times. Think about this. You come to Jesus and you say, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Let's just name a sin. Forgive me for eating too much. You eat too much at breakfast time and you say, oh, Jesus, forgive me for eating too much. And so then you go to Tim Hortons at 9:30 and you have like 4 of those chocolate eclairs and you go, can't believe I ate the whole thing, all 5 of them. Oh, forgive me, Jesus, for eating too much. Go to 11:30, your friends invite you out to Starbucks, and so you go to Starbucks and you have some more coffee and some more big chocolate cookies, and you go, oh, I shouldn't have ate that. Forgive me, Jesus, for eating too much. You go out for lunch because they invite you out for lunch, and you go to the Mandarin. And you eat more than you should, and you are kind of waddling away feeling much bigger than when you came in there. And you say, Jesus, forgive me for eating too much. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you have another break. This time you stop at William's Coffee Pub, and they have those great big pieces of pumpkin pie or pumpkin cake, and you eat those, and you go, oh, Jesus, forgive me for eating too much. You come home for supper and you, prepared for you is a huge turkey dinner. And you sit down and you eat again and you go, oh, Jesus, forgive me for eating too much. You see, we've only had that specific sin 5 times in 1 day. And every time we ask, Jesus forgives us. But he says, if it's a specific sin, you should forgive it 490 times. In other words, he says, I'm not counting. His mercy and his compassion and his unfailing love towards us. Verse 9 says, the Lord is good to everyone. He shows compassion, or he showers compassion on all his creation. All his works will thank the Lord. All his works. There is something about the red-winged blackbird song. And you generally don't hear the song of the red-winged blackbird until it starts to warm up again. And there's something about the melody of a robin that you don't hear in the wintertime. And these sounds praise the Lord. We watched a couple of weeks ago the stars vibrating, and that video we watched from Louis Gigolo of the stars vibrating or oscillating, and they were praising God. And compiled with the whale song, we're praising God. And then the people sang, "Great is our, or how great is our God," to the melody of the stars and to the melody of the whales. The Bible says that the trees of the fields will clap their hands. The Bible says that the stars in the heavens declare the handiwork of God. The Bible says that the waters or the waves will roar. The Bible says that the birds sing. Colin texted us last Saturday, and he says, or Facebook does not text, he Facebook, and he says, the swans are in my field. There were probably 500 trumpeter swans. Anybody see the swans this last couple of weeks, kind of out of north of Belmont? Man, the field is like just white with them. Well, what does a swan? What are they called? Are they just called swans, or are they called trumpeters? I believe that they're heralding God's, they're trumpeting out God's praises. Dogs even praise the Lord. They go, hallelujah. Man, that was a slow one. All of creation. It says there in verse 9, verse 10, it says, all your works will give thanks, or will thank you, Lord, except for this. I named off just a few of the things that God created gives him thanks and praise. But it says, all your works will give you thanks, except for the people who don't know Jesus. The one creation that was created in the likeness of God, who could reason and feel and could sense the presence of God, the one thing was the one person that didn't want to bow their knee and worship God. As a matter of fact, you find most people who are not serving God, who are walking in rebellion, they're cursing God instead of praising him. Something goes wrong, they begin to curse God. They begin to use God's name in vain. But here's what the verse says as it finishes out in verse 10. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. This is where we come in. Because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, because we've been bought back by God himself, we can praise him, his faithful followers. Hey, that's you folks. Your faithful followers will praise you. That's why God says you need to praise me. That's why God says you need to exalt me. Give me praise because of my faithfulness and because you're faithfully following me. Verse 12 says, for your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule throughout all generations. Verse 12 says, they will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and the glory of your reign. I wanted to play a song this morning. Maybe some of you have heard it. It talks about the different tribes. from the tribes of Africa will praise the Lord. From the mountains in the Himalayas, they will praise the Lord. All the peoples will praise the Lord. Now here it says, the glory of your reign. Verse 13 says, that you rule throughout all generations. And then it finishes off in verse 13. It says, the Lord always keeps His promises. The Lord always keeps His promises. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, it says, or 3, verse 9, it says that God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. But He will do as He's promised. And I know sometimes you're sitting there and you have this question in your mind. God, I believe that You promised me something. You promised me that my family would serve You, and they're not. God, You promised me that I would walk in divine health, and yet I've got this cough and I got this headache and I'm sick. God, You promised me that all my needs would be met, but here I'm eating for the fourth day bread and water. God, we get this idea that God has not kept His promises, but God says You can praise me because I keep all of my promises. He always keep. Now I wish our government could say that. They always keep what they promise. But God is not restricted to the government's standard. He's far above that. He says, I'll always keep Your promises. You know what? Sometimes we get so out of focus. We think that because God didn't meet our need, and I walked through, Mary and I walked through times where for 3 weeks all we ate was rice and squash, and a little loaf of bread for five of us for breakfast. It got really bad when we ran out of soy sauce. And sometimes we say, "Well, God, how come I'm not eating steak every day? How come?" When we fail to realize that God is in the whole, He's got the whole in mind, and He's trying to redeem mankind, not act as Santa Claus to us. So just because you don't eat steak today, and just because you may have a headache, doesn't mean that God has failed His promises. He's still working in your life, and you need to see that. Let's go on. And then in verse 17 it says, the Lord is righteous in everything He does. He is filled with kindness. Just Psalm 145 really just tells us why we should worship God. He is filled with kindness. I wrote this in my Bible this morning. The years of kindness far away the moments of adversity. You kind of laughed at me when I told you, thank you for coming to my birthday party in my dream. Because I saw you there. And as God began to flash back 53 years of the blessing in my life, they far outweighed the moments of adversity we've had. And I think if you start to look there, you can even say the same thing, that the years of blessing that have been in your life far outweigh. I'm not belittling the moments of adversity, but I am saying that the years that God has poured into your life, the blessings that God has poured into your life, gives you reason to praise Him, to stand up and clap and say, God, You're so good to me. Even when I face adversity, even when I face trials, even when I face temptations, God, You are still good to me and I need to praise You. The Lord is righteous, and everything He does is good. Everything He does is right. Again, I was watching some of the episodes as in The Amazing Race. If you're not familiar with the concept, 10 teams or 11 teams start out in America. They're giving a place to go, and they have to find these things. And in about 25 days, they do about 60,000 miles of travel worldwide trying to find these things. One of the things that they had to do was they had to come into this Buddhist temple. And they had to find their name that was on the bottom of 500 gold Buddha statues. I want to tell you this morning that our God is not some little chunk of golden carved stone. And our God is not just not one of many gods. He is the God of the universe. He is the God who calls you by name. He is the God who takes the time to count the numbers of hair in your head. And Dave, that's easy for you, eh? but he takes the time. The Bible says that he writes your name on the palm of his hand. So every time he looks at his hand, he sees your name and he remembers you. He counts the hairs in your head. He knows your very thoughts. And he knows even before we think them what our prayer request is upon our heart. This is the God that we serve. Not some little stone that is carved with a big fat head going, nothing. Everything he does is righteous. So why, or what does praise do for us? Just quickly talked about God here this morning. And what does praise do for you? Brings you closer to God. Is that what you said, Paul? What does praise do for you? Lifts you up. Puts things in perspective. What else does God, what does praise do for you? Excites your heart. Makes you feel closer to God. Yeah. What else does praise do for you? Serves as a testimony. Every one of your answers are correct. I've chosen five to kind of bring it all together here. First of all, praise takes our minds off of our problems and our shortcomings and helps us focus on God. When we realize that in the light of eternity, now, I want to define eternity for you, okay? I want you to picture a steel ball the size of the earth. Solid steel ball. Okay? Got that in your mind, how big that is? What, Craig, how big is, what's the circumference of the earth? Do you know? Does anybody know? Can you, anybody remember in physics?
A lot.
I think it's 25,000 miles is the circumference of the earth. I could be wrong. It could be a little bit more than that. Okay, so think of this solid steel ball the size of the earth. Now, think of the size of an ant. And you know how big his feet are. Okay, now, think about the ant walking around the earth and wearing it down to nothing. That's the start of eternity.
24,900 miles.
Oh, so I was off. I was off by like 100 miles. Oh, man. No wonder the ant got tired. He had to walk an extra 100 miles. The start of it. And we get so upset sometimes because the moment this light affliction of our momentary thing is happening. When we realize that God has called us from this temporal to be in his presence for eternity, it makes our problems and our shortcomings and helps us focus on God. Oh, man. God, you want me to praise you? Oh, God, I got this headache. I don't feel like praising you. And he says, praise me. Oh, God, my kids are like in trouble and they're going through a really rough time. God says, praise me. Lift me up. Secondly, praise leads us from the individual meditation to corporate worship. I don't know how many times individually you've stood up and you said, I want to praise God. A couple of weeks ago, Eva stood up as her individual meditation, she got up and she says, I want to thank God that God caused me to come out of debt completely. What did we do as a corporate body? We begin to clap and cheer for her because God has done something in her life. So when you mention, when quietly you're thinking, oh God, I want to praise you, and you come before the congregation and you've meditated upon the goodness of God, and you stand up and say, I just want to thank God for delivering me. Like you said, Betty, this morning, it was an individual meditation, thinking about how God kept you safe even in the fog. And then you voiced it. And what did it do for us? It caused our spirits to rejoice that God was protecting you. And so when you begin to praise God, it may come from an individual meditation, but I tell you, when you open your mouth and you say, God's been good in my life. When you open your mouth or stand up and you get a little bit excited and it says, God has just redeemed me, or I think back to when God reached down into the pit and pulled me out of the miry clay. Man, we want to stand up and we want to clap because you caused us to rise in corporate worship. And so, praise leads us from the individual meditation to corporate worship. Praise causes us to consider and appreciate God's character. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. How many times, God, is this that I've come to you? God says, I don't know. It's not that God's lost count. He just refuses to take count. We think of his character. He is righteous. He's good. He's not fickle. He's not going, well, because the robin sang today, I'll forgive you. But because the crows flew over your head, well, tough luck, Charlie. No. We begin to experience and consider his very character. And Psalm 145 was just one of those chapters. But we can consider how great he is. How awesome he is. How that he loves us. Praise lifts our perspective from the earthly to the heavenly. How many times have you been at a funeral and the person who lies in the casket has known Christ but has suffered tremendously in their body physically? And what is our hope? What do we say to people? They are in a better place. They don't hurt anymore. And you know what? Sometimes we need to get a fresh perspective of what heaven is going to be like. Revelation defines it as there's no more tears, no more sickness, no more death, no more dying. We're in God's presence. And yes, I appreciate the presence of God and we welcome him here, but I am so looking forward to heaven. I've got some interesting people I want to see in heaven. I've got my perfect son. He's in heaven. Most of you know it, but Mary miscarried our third child. He was a son. And he's perfect. He's in heaven. And you know what he's doing with Jesus? He's showing Jesus how to pop a wheelie on the Harley. Heaven is so real to us, folks. Man, I'm so looking forward to seeing Alex, my grandchild, Alex. Heaven changes our perspective, folks. That song that we sing, it's an older song. We haven't sang it too often, but it says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So greatly run the race till we see him. It's going to change, folks. Gives us reason to praise the Lord. We take our eyes off of pollution and the earthquakes and all of the things that seem to be pushing and crowding us out. We get a glimpse of, man, if there were no gold streets, seeing Jesus would still be worth it. If there were no pearly gates, it'd still be worth it to be in God's presence. And if I don't even have my mansion and I just have a little room, it's still worth it to be in God's presence. And so I praise Him. Finally, praise prepares our hearts to receive God's love. The older I get, the more I am totally blown away by how much God loves me. And I want to praise Him for that. I want to exalt Him. And the more I praise Him, the more it opens up my heart that the power of the Holy Spirit can flow through me. God says, He says, I inhabit the praises of my people. I camp out. I tabernacle in the praises of my people. Why should we praise the Lord? Because He's worthy. When should we praise the Lord? All of the time. And how should we praise the Lord? Praise that is right is with all of your might. Read Psalm 150. It says, praise the Lord on the stringed instruments and on the organ and on the trumpets and with the loud sounding cymbals and with the crashing cymbals and the big bass drum and everything. And it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Then it ends in Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. I want you to be so focused on the praise of God. You don't have the song books in front of you. But if you know this song, sing it with me. I'm not even going to play it on the guitar. It's To God Be the Glory. It says, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Here's what verse 2 says, oh, perfect redemption. The purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receive. Verse 3 says, great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son, but purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Come on, folks, let's stand up and let's sing the chorus a couple of times. Let's raise our voice and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. One more time, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Now, folks, let's just take a moment to praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I want to thank you, God, for being good. I want to thank you, God, for being righteous. I want to thank you, God, for being kind and compassionate, and you show mercy to us. I thank you, God, that you're slow to get angry with us. Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for your blessing. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I praise you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to thank you for your healing. I want to thank you, Lord, for heaven. I want to thank you, God, that your promises are true. And in you they are yes and amen. Lord, I want to thank you that you're with us. I want to thank you, God. I want to exalt you, Lord. I want to praise you with all of my might, with all of my strength, with all of my heart in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're just going to take some time. If God puts a song upon your heart of praise and you want to start it, go ahead. Just begin to sing it out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We exalt you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, Abba Father, thou art worthy, Almighty God, thou art worthy, great Jehovah, thou art worthy, mighty God. Hallelujah, 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 folks. Oh, let that praise begin to well in your heart. Let the confidence that God is still in control working in your life begin to rise in your heart. Oh, God, whatever we're facing, we want to praise you. Even in the darkest of the storms, we choose to praise you. Even in the brightness of the day, we choose to praise you because you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you because you are worthy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. So praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh God, let our hearts begin to swell with the praises that we offer to you. God, may our moments be filled as we look towards heaven and look towards you. That we praise you, God, for not just what you are doing, but for who you are. God, I pray that our moments would reflect on the blessings that you have poured in our lives daily and moment by moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We want to praise you, Lord. God, every moment we want you to be the focus of our attention. We want to give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, as we go in just a few moments, I pray that your presence would be so around us, and we would sense your presence so around us that we could do nothing else but praise you. You keep us in the center of your will, in the center of your hand, and in Jesus' name.